I feel like reading something from Matthew chapter 21, where the whole Palm Sunday thing is described. Read from verse 20, from verse 1. Matthew 21, from verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible tucked in front of you somewhere there. I'll wait for us to all get there. Matthew 21. Can you guys hear me okay? All right, Matthew 21. Are we all there? Yes? Okay. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her foal. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, "See, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and its foal. Then they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the ground, on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to just stop there for now. So as I read this particular place describing what some people would describe as the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This was toward the time that he was to be crucified, and that's where you get the whole Palm Sunday celebration thing. But something else struck me that might not actually, be conventional Palm Sunday. And that was verse 4 and verse 5. It says, "This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled." And actually, the prophet who prophesied this was Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, had prophesied exactly the same thing. And so here the Bible is saying that the reason this took place was in conformity with a prophecy that had gone ahead of the coming of Christ. This prophecy had been spoken long before Christ was born. And the Bible says, long after this prophecy was spoken, exactly what the prophecy said came to pass. And it says, it came to pass so that it would be fulfilled, that which was prophesied. And then it struck me. It just occurred to me that I've read through the Gospels. I've read several times where the Bible will say exactly the same thing, that this was done so that it would be fulfilled, that which some prophet had prophesied by God many years before. And so this is going to be a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to take you guys on a little bit of a journey. I'll just stick with the book of Matthew. Okay? So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." And that was Isaiah's prophecy. And so the birth of Jesus was in conformity with something that had been prophesied long before Jesus was born. And so the birth of Jesus was simply following some prophetic declaration that had gone ahead of him way before he was born. Okay? So you go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? I said this would be a little bit long, but just hang in there with me. Matthew 2, verse 15. All right. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. It says, Then he went and settled in a town called Nazareth to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So again, you see that it's almost, the picture here is almost like whatever is happening in the life of Jesus is playing out something that had been prophesied a long time ago. All right? I'll just read a few more and then I'll pick up from there. Chapter 4, verse 14. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the road by the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And for those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Again, the confirmation of prophecy that had gone on ahead of the coming of Christ. Chapter 8, verse 17. So that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He himself took our weakness and carried our diseases. He himself, this was after Jesus cast out some demons from some demon-possessed people and healed people. And Bible says, this what happened so that it would be fulfilled, a prophecy that Isaiah had prophesied long before the coming of Christ. Again, chapter 12, verse 17. Hang in there with me, please. Verse 17. So that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not argue or shout, and no one will hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed, and he will not put out a smoldering wick until he has led justice to victory. The nations will put their hope in him. Chapter 13, verse 35. So that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Chapter 26, verse 54. How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? How then must the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Just a little bit of background. This was when the soldiers came to arrest Christ, and then Peter drew out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the priest's servants. And Jesus told him, hey, Peter, put back your sword, right? I can pray the Father, and the Father will send me, you know, several many angels to defend me. But he says, if I do that, then the scripture will not be fulfilled. So he said, Peter, put it back, because the scripture must be fulfilled. And so this was Jesus aligning himself with prophecy of the scripture that had gone ahead of him before his coming. And I'll read one more. Chapter 27, verse 35. After crucifying him, they divided his clothes by casting lots. Then they sat down and were guarding him there. And above his head, they put something on him. But this again was one of those prophecies where it had been prophesied. Isaiah had said they would actually divide my garment, right? And so this was one of those fulfillments of the prophecies that had gone ahead of the coming of Christ. And so why did I take the time to go through these things? It looks to me very clearly that in the writings of the gospel according to Matthew, this was Jesus just living out a blueprint of his life that had been foreordained and spelled out and prophesied. God's word had gone forth ahead of the coming of Christ. And it was also almost as if at every point, Jesus was aligning himself with the prophecy that had gone on ahead of him. By the way, prophecy simply means a declaration of God's word. Okay? That's what prophecy is. So let's not limit it to just saying, you know, the gift of prophecy when someone, you know, in the service speaks up something. That's one manifestation. But to prophesy simply means to declare, to speak forth, to proclaim God's word. That's what prophecy means. And so there had been some declarations of the word of God, of the mind of God, ahead of time. And those declarations were written down. Right? They were written down. And so after Jesus was born, it was as if everything about his life, at every turn, he was aligning himself with prophecy. At every turn, he was aligning himself with prophecy. Even at the point where he had the option of doing something else, like what happened with Peter and the servant when Peter cut off that guy's ear. Jesus said, no, we can't do that. We have to align ourselves with the divine mandate that had gone on ahead of us. We are simply living out the intentions of God. That's what Jesus did. He was simply living out God's ordained intentions. He voluntarily aligned himself with God's word. I like to say to us here, Jesus did not live his life by mistake. He didn't live his life by trial and error. He didn't live his life by casting lot and seeing which way it will fall. No, Jesus purposely lived his life in accordance with the mind of God. And here's the interesting thing. The mind of God was not hidden. I say that again. The mind of God was not concealed and hidden. It was written down. It was prophesied. It was written down. God made it clear. And Jesus intentionally lived his life in accordance with God's proclaimed word concerning him. Sometimes when we think of Jesus, we tend to think that Jesus lived his life on earth just as God. And so sometimes when we see him casting out devils, we say to ourselves, he was able to do it because he was God. Point of correction. Jesus was fully man while he was here. If he was just God and not fully man, when Peter cut off the ears of that guy, why would he be saying, I would have prayed the Father and the Father will send? That's kind of, it doesn't make sense. If he's God fully, why would he need to pray the Father? He wouldn't need to do that. He would do it by himself. But because he was fully man, because he was fully man here on earth, he was simply showing us the way to do it. And so when we say Jesus lived his life intentionally, according to the proclaimed word that had gone over his life, I'd like you to note that Jesus, in doing that, is laying for us an example of how your life and my life should be lived. If we must, at the end, like Jesus, at the end we'll say it is finished. If at the end we'll say we put it out all there and we accomplished exactly the intentions of God for our lives. If we must, at the end, have heaven rejoice over us and look at us and say, this is my servant in whom I am well pleased. Then we must, like Christ, intentionally live our lives according to the divine mandate, according to the divine proclamation that God intended for us before the foundation of the world. Paul writing in the book of Ephesians, he said, Christ chose us in himself before the foundation of the world that we should do good works. He says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works that he determined before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. So just like Christ, just like before Christ was ever born, the Bible calls him in the book of Revelations, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. If he was the Lamb of God that was slain before he was ever born, that means his life was predetermined. His life was proposed by God before he ever came to be born on the earth. In the same vein, you and I, before we were ever born, we had been predetermined by God unto some good works. And at the end, at the consummation of all things, your assessment of God, your assessment by God, is going to be in comparison to the good works that he determined before the foundation of the world, before you were born. And so if, like Christ, you and I are going to end up finally saying to him, it is finished. I have done all things. I've kept all the ones you gave me in your name. I'm ready to be taken up. Like Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I am ready to be taken up. If we must come to that point, then we, like Jesus, must live our lives intentionally, purposefully, according to the divine word, according to the divine counsel that went ahead of us before we were born. Otherwise, we would have missed it. I read the story of Paul. The Bible says that Paul was going to Jerusalem. He was leaving the Ephesian brethren and he was going to Jerusalem. And the Bible says prophecies came to him telling him that there is a lot of suffering and persecution waiting for him in Jerusalem. The prophet Agabus actually told him, say, by the Holy Spirit, there is persecution waiting for you in Jerusalem. You know what Paul said? He says, I know that there is persecution waiting for me, even to the point of death. I know. In fact, he was telling the Ephesian brethren, after this, you will not see me again. In other words, he knew he was headed toward his death. Excuse me, if you knew you were going to die by getting in your car and driving home, are you going to get in the car? But Paul knew that he was going to die. He knew he was going to suffer. One would have imagined that Paul would change course and say, you know what, let me just stay here in Ephesus. I think I'm having it okay here. I can still minister to the brethren here. I can still, you know, preach the gospel here. I can still be useful to the kingdom of God here. I'd rather just stay here because there's death awaiting me in Jerusalem. But Paul said, I know that there's, I'm headed towards my death. I know, I'm very much aware of it. But I will still go. He says, because for that reason did Christ save me. Because if you remember at his conversion, God told him, he told Ananias, go and tell him what things he must suffer for my sake. So whereas other brethren would have said, you know what, we're going to stay back here in Ephesus, we can still minister to people here, Paul said, no, I am headed towards Jerusalem. I am headed toward my death. Why? Because the prophetic word that was hanging over his life was that he must suffer for the gospel and die for the gospel. And so he gladly accepted that word. And even though he was marching toward his death, he yet went and he died. He went and he was killed. You know why he surrendered to that? Because he knew the word of God that was hanging over his life. And so, the point, if you would want to give what I'm sharing with us this morning something that looks like a title, I want to call it Fulfilling Your Destiny. fulfilling your destiny just like Christ did, just like Paul did. Let me begin by saying, you do not fulfill destiny by accident. You don't stumble into it. Christ didn't stumble into his destiny. Again, I like to make it very clear. Some people think that Jesus, when Jesus came, he was all just fully God, and so he knew what was going to happen, and he lived his life that way. No. I'll take you back a little bit. Do you remember when they went for the census? Right? When he was 12 and they went for the census. At the end of that, the Bible says that his family left him and went back. Whereas his family left him and went back, and they went a day's journey. The Bible says Jesus stayed back in the temple. What was he doing? When his parents came back, the Bible said they saw him listening to the teachers of the law and asking them questions. Excuse me. If he was God and he knew everything, why was he asking questions? Why was he listening to teachers? Why was he listening to teachers teach him the law? Because he was fully man. I think that's the aspect of the life of Christ that many times we don't relate to. In the first 30 years of his life, he was preparing. He was in preparation for the things that happened in the three plus years before he died. Jesus did not live his life by accident. They said, why have you done this thing to us? He said, do you not know that I must be about my father's business? Do you not know that I must be in the house of my father? What was he doing in the house of his father? Jesus was reading through the scriptures. When the Bible will say, he will say this so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Do you not know that he had, prior to that, exposed himself to the knowledge of that scripture? He had, prior to that, learned about it and understood that this was speaking about his life. And so when the time came, he simply aligned himself with it because he knew that this was speaking about him. During those 30 years, Jesus was carefully exposing himself to these prophecies. The prophecies did not just come to him because he was God and he knew everything. No. Like man, as a man, he learned them. He exposed himself to them. He studied them. He read them. He believed them. He prayed them. And when the time was come, he began to live them. When he was fully time, he began to, and people are wondering, how was he always at the right place at the right time? Because he had been exposed to these prophetic words. And he lived his life in accordance with those prophetic words. That was how Jesus got to fulfill his destiny. Do you desire to fulfill your own destiny? Number one, it doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by accident. I'll say to you, men and brethren, we have to settle down with God. And like Jesus did when he sat in the temple and listened to those preachers and listened to those teachers of the law, you and I have to settle down with God and begin to ask him very pointed questions. Lord, what are you saying about my life? What was it before the foundation of the world that you laid down that I should walk in? What is the prophetic word of your, what is your prophetic word over my life in this season of my life? It's not, see, fulfilling destiny is not by accident. Paul did not stumble into the place where he was killed. He went there. In the time of Jesus' ministry, he would go around and he would go from city to city to city to city. But when the time was come, he headed toward Jerusalem. He was walking in sync with his divine purpose. At some point, some people came to him and said, let us make you king. He said, no, that's not my purpose. You can make the other one king. You can make him king. But me, that's not my divine purpose. My kingdom is not of this world. I have an eternal one that I'm pursuing, and you're not going to stop me. At some point, the Bible says he turned around and he made as if he would go into this city. Even the villagers there looked at him and said, your face is like someone who's headed towards Jerusalem. We will not even allow you to come in here. because he was living his life in accordance with the prophetic declarations that had gone over his life, everything around him had to cooperate with him. What is God saying about your life? I beg to say that we cannot afford to live our lives in ambiguity. We cannot talk about fulfilling destiny while we are walking in ambiguity. We cannot be talking about fulfilling destiny when we are walking in vagueness. Everything around you is vague. Everything around you is uncertain. Then how do you know when you get to the place of your destiny? You will not know because you are surrounded with confusion and vagueness and uncertainty. That is why I said, we like Christ must settle it with God in the secret place. We must settle it with God. What have you said concerning me? Lord, I don't want to live another day of my life in ambiguity. Oh yeah, we are just Christians. That's it. Your destiny is we are just Christians. Oh Lord, I have done service here and there, but Lord, I need to know. I need to be certain. I need to learn your word. I need to hear what you are saying about me, because I must live my life in sync with what you ordained for me to walk in before the foundation of the world. Brethren, before the foundation of the world, God proposed you and I that we should walk in certain good works. We cannot say, I don't know about you, but it is a costly mistake for us to leave this place today without holding on heaven and tugging on heaven and saying to heaven, what are these good works? I cannot afford to waste resources anymore. I cannot afford to waste time anymore. Brethren, time is going. Time is going. Because we are humans, God has created us within time. And we have to operate within time. We have to do the work that we have to do within time. And when the time expires, it has expired. What is God saying about you? Brethren, I'd like us to go beyond church and beyond religion. What is heaven saying about you? Jesus could confidently say, the Bible says, he came into the temple that day. They handed him the scrolls. He opened the scrolls, and the Bible says, he opened to where it was written. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And after, at the end, the Bible says, he closed the scrolls, handed it back to the guy. He looked at them, and he said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. Ah! You and I must come to the place where we can say, this word of God concerning me is fulfilled. You will not know whether or not it's been fulfilled if you don't even know what it is. And the Bible says, and this was done so that it might be fulfilled, that which the prophet said, God desires that you and I will know what he has said concerning us. But we will not know it when we are too busy with other things. We will not know it when we are in a haste to get to other things. We will not know it when we prefer other things to spending time with him. We want to be like Jesus. Jesus spent 30 years in preparation. We want to be like Jesus. Jesus spent time in the Word of God. He spent time reading the scriptures. He spent time in prayer. We want to be like Jesus. We want to heal the sick. We want to raise the dead. But first of all, we have to be with him in secret. It doesn't happen by accident. Brethren, I will tell it to you. It does not happen by accident. You know what he said to Joshua after Moses died? He said to Joshua, you're going to lead these people into the promised land and you divide the land to them. That is your purpose. But hear this, you have to be strong and courageous so that you will do what the book of the law says. It was almost like he was saying, if you must fulfill this destiny, there's a prerequisite. There's a precondition. That precondition is this. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must read it to yourself. You must meditate on it. You must observe to do and act according to everything that it says, not some things. I read it. He said, you must observe to do according to everything. It's not being selective. You do the ones that are convenient and you skip the ones that are not convenient. You will not arrive at the place of your destiny if you do that. If we must arrive, men and brethren, we must observe to do according to all that is written therein, whether it is convenient or it is not. This book of the law, this book that has prophetic declarations, this book that has the proclamation of the intentions of God, it must not depart from your mouth. It must not depart from your mind. If your mind will be filled with anything, it has to be the prophetic words of the book of the law. Friends, education is good. Right? I have a doctorate. Education is good. But it's the education of this world. It doesn't lead you into divine destiny. It doesn't lead you into divine destiny. If God has said to Joshua, you know, Joshua, you need to train to be an accountant, and the book of accounting must not depart out of your mouth. Study it and meditate it day and night, and then shall you have good success. That's not what he told him. He said it is the book of the prophetic declaration. My brethren, do you spend time? Do you value the book of the prophetic declarations more than your accounting book? Do you value the knowledge of what heaven is saying about you more than your career? Do you value it more than the things of this world? Brethren, if we must fulfill destiny like Christ, then we must do like Christ. The book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. Brethren, there's no option. If you must fulfill destiny, then the book of the law must be your meditation day and night. Oh, blessed is the man. Blessed is that man. You know, many times people are looking for blessings here and there, but God already declares it very clearly. He said, you will have good success when you meditate on this thing day and night and observe to do according to all that is written there. He says, you will have good success. He didn't say you go and look for success. He didn't say you go and cheat to get success. No, it will come to you. Do you desire to fulfill destiny? Do you desire that when you stand before the Lord on the day, you will hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? For you to be faithful, there must have been a task. For you to faithfully execute that task, you must have known what the task is. So can it be proper to say that it cannot be said, you will not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you never even knew what the task was? And you never even did the task. But you did other things. But you didn't do the task. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Yeah, no. See, but his meditation, he meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. The leaves will never dry. Brethren, I sense the Lord pressing us tonight to move forward. To move forward not just in any direction, but to move forward in the direction along the lines of the divine purpose that he proposed for you before the foundation of the world. It doesn't happen by mistake. It will not happen by mistake. Brethren, the devil takes joy in occupying us with everything apart from that which the Lord has intended for us. when the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, the devil kept them occupied with so many things. They were working, they were eating food, they were doing this, they were learning the language, they were learning the culture, they were building things, they were doing so many things. But the Bible says about Daniel, one day he began to read, he began to search, and through the reading of the books, he discovered that the time of their captivity was expired. According to prophetic declaration, their time in captivity was supposed to be over. But the pastors did not even know. The leaders did not know, because the devil succeeded in keeping everybody busy. Made everybody comfortable, and everybody was okay that this is our lot. After all, we heard the prophecy that we'll be taken into captivity, but they heard only one part. The devil limited them to only that part where the Bible said they'll be taken into captivity. And the devil will not let them see the part that said that the captivity will only last 70 years. And at the expiration of 70 years, it was time to go. And the Bible says about Daniel, when he discovered that, he began to fast and entreat heaven. That was when the prince of Persia would tell him. Because the prince of Persia was like, what? If this guy has seen our secret, if we let him, these people are going to go. And the prince of Persia went to withstand the angel that was coming to bring answers to his prayers. The devil likes to keep us in the dark concerning God's intentions for our lives. Rather, he would like us to learn all the other useless things. The other things that have temporal satisfaction, things that have temporal effects that do not lead us into the place of our divine destiny. Tonight, this afternoon, I like for God to stir your heart. I pray that God will stir all of our hearts so that we will no longer be passive. We will no longer just go through and just be Christians like we're just Christians and Christians and Christians. Like Christianity is just about just bring you in here and you go to heaven and that's it, full stop. I pray God will stir your heart. I pray God will stir my heart. So that from this place, heaven will begin to hear bangs on the door of heaven saying, Lord, what is it that you have made me for? Why did you spare me? When I had the blood clot and I should have died, why did you give me extra days? Why? When the car crash should have killed me, why? There was a divine predestination before I was born. And heaven is so committed to it that heaven will move everything to preserve me until it comes to pass. Why will I then be passive? He that spared not his only son. That's how precious you are. That's how serious the goal is to him. Look for how to fulfill it. And he took on himself. The God, the sinless God, was made sin for you and I. So that we'll just be Christians and sit in church and come every Sunday and spend 22 hours and go. I don't know about you, but I long to stand before the Lord and he will say to me, well done. I saw your sacrifices. Well done. You've done well. I saw when the enemy came against you and there was nobody looking. You could have compromised, but you remembered my word and you stood your ground. I saw it. Well done. I saw it when pressures came on you from every side and you had the pressures to give up and say, I'm done with this preaching thing. I'm done with this whole holiness thing. I'm done with it. But you remembered the word. You remembered the prophetic utterances. You remembered the scriptures that God spoke to your heart. And you turned around and said, even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. He said, I saw that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter into the rest of your Lord. I want to hear the Lord say that to me. Brethren, it will not happen by accident. It will not happen simply because you sleep and you wake up in the morning and you're rushing off to work and you go and work and you make some money and then you go on vacation and then you do this other thing and then at the end you stand before him. Jesus could hang on the tree and say, it is finished. Because indeed, it was finished. I don't know how long you have to live. I don't know how many years, how many days, how many hours, how many months you have to live. But would you be able to say on that day, it is indeed finished? Lord, I finished it. I did all of it. I gave it my all. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, I laid it out there for you. I loved you with everything I had. Even though I was weak, even though I didn't have too much money, even though I failed many times, but Lord, I gave it my all. What is God saying about your life? I would want to speak a little bit more, but I sense the Lord wanting us to stop here. What is God saying about your life? You can read stories about other people's lives. That is them. What is God saying about you? He knew you before the foundation of the world. And he knew you were going to be here today. What is he saying about your life? Has the devil told you a lie that you will never know? Has the devil told you a lie that is nothing much, nothing serious? Are you confused? Are you uncertain? Did you believe at one point, but because of the cares of this world, you have ceased to believe anymore? And as you look at those things, they look very impossible. They look far-fetched to you. Can I say something to you this afternoon? With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. As he shows it to you, as he unveils these revelations to you, as you entreat him and he begins to show these things to you, I encourage your heart to jump with joy and say to him, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. I don't know how this is going to happen. It's definitely way beyond all the resources I can muster. But with you, all things are possible. You may look at these things and you say to yourself, but Lord, I have failed in these things over and over. And people even know me that I have been a failure in these things. But I'd like you to look again up to heaven and say to him, Lord, with me it is impossible. But I know I'm not going by myself. I did not make myself. I did not save myself. You save me with your mighty right hand, and your right hand of righteousness will uphold me. I will cast my care upon you because you care for me. I'll give it all to you. I present my body as a living sacrifice. Although it's a little bit messed up, I'm going to give it to you this all the same. As a living sacrifice, I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my mind. Even the impurities in my mind, I'll give them all to you because you're able to wash and make clean. I give you my all. I present my body to you, not as a sacrifice to drive car up and down and fly up and down and do things. No. To save you, you and you alone, to satisfy your pleasure. Have you read in the Bible, Revelation 4:20, where it says, thou hast created all things, for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Brethren, we are born to give heaven pleasure. Anything short of the pleasure of heaven must no longer be tolerated in our lives. Does it bring pleasure to heaven? That is our goal. Bow your heads, let's pray this afternoon. Fulfilling divine destiny. Oh, would you like heaven to hear your heart sing this morning or this afternoon? I want to fulfill that destiny. I want to satisfy that pleasure. I want to accomplish that good work that was ordained before the foundation of the world, that I should walk in it. Will you be sincere with heaven and say to the Lord this afternoon, Lord, I've gotten distracted. Lord, I have loved other things more than I've loved you. I've loved pleasures more than I have loved you. But Lord, I'm coming to you again this afternoon with repentance. I'm coming again presenting this body to you. I'm coming again presenting this heart to you. I'm coming again to you, O God. In your mercy, revive me. In your mercy, quicken me. In your mercy, baptize me again like you did Christ with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Will you present your heart again to heaven? on that mountain when Elijah called those prophets of Baal, he said to them, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. That answering by fire is that God is accepting the sacrifice. Brethren, as you present to the Lord, as you present again yourself to the Lord, you're presenting yourself to the Lord to fulfill purpose, so that that which was spoken by the prophets will be accomplished in your life. That which was declared in the scripture will be fulfilled in your life. As you present yourself to the Lord, heaven will release fire upon your soul tonight. A fire of acceptance. The Bible says the fire burns chaff. Everything that is chaff in your life, the fire of the presence of God can scorch it and destroy it, so that you will come forth as pure gold. I want to encourage you tonight, this afternoon. It doesn't matter where you failed or where you missed it in the past. You're not dead. You're not dead yet. That means God is not through with you. It doesn't matter how much you've already accomplished before now. You're not dead yet. He hasn't given up on you. I hear your heart saying, yeah, there was a time I really gave my heart to the Lord and I was just very serious, but I know I'm not as serious as I used to be. I just wish I could actually get back to that place. Can I say something to you? There's even a much better place that the Lord will bring you into as you present your heart to him again this afternoon. Present your heart again to him this afternoon. Consecrate again your heart to him this afternoon. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast love and me closer drawn to you. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding side. Just come to him again this afternoon. Hey, there's a refreshing that comes from the presence of God. There's a refreshing that is here this afternoon. Oh, just open your heart to him and receive it. Open your heart to him and receive it. There's a victory over the accusation of the enemy here this afternoon. Open your heart and receive him afresh. Open your heart and receive him afresh. Open your heart and be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. God will want to open your heart and show you divine revelations of the intentions he had for you before the foundation of the world. Will you desire him that he will show you? Make it very clear. He said, make the vision plain so that he that readeth may run. Heaven wants to make it plain upon your heart so that as you read the revelations of the divine prophecies, you may run. You may run this race with patience. You may run this race faithfully so that in the end, you can say like Paul, I have fought a good fight. I gave it my all. I loved the Lord with all my heart. I loved him with all my strength. I loved him with all my soul. I am ready to be taken up. Come what may, I am ready to be taken up. I am ready to hear the Lord say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. Will your heart say to God tonight, this afternoon, Lord, even if it is one day that I have to live, one more day, it will be the day that I will give it my all. I will give you my all. I will give you all of my worship. I'll give you all of my praise. I'll give you all of my attention. I'll give you all of my energy. I'll give you all of my resources. I'll give you my all. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Can I say something to you? No chains of darkness, no chains of darkness can be strong enough to keep you from the purpose of God if you will align yourself with that purpose. You're here and you claim, and you're saying to yourself, you've been struggling with this thing that has been a chain. You go up, it pulls you down. You go up, it pulls you down. The more you try, the more it pulls you down. Brethren, I have word for you this morning. Jump onto the prophetic word of God. Catch a revelation of what heaven is saying about you and watch the chains break. And watch the chains break. Ah, he said that the snare is broken. The snare is broken and my soul is escaped like the bird out of the snare of the fowler. Ah, Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you. Thank you for the revival. Thank you, God, for the reawakening of your love and your fire. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Morika satamiana sambrakatunya bakaya. Moriga doshinda gaborokotozai. Lord, open our ears to hear the declarations of heaven over our lives. Open our ears to hear the divine prophecies of God over our lives again. Lord, every prophetic word that has hitherto been buried, buried by circumstances of life, buried by fears, any prophetic word that has hitherto grown cold, let there be a reawakening. Let it come alive again. Let it burn again like fire in our spirits. Like Jeremiah said, your word was like fire shut up in his bones. Let your word be like fire in our bones. Lord, for as many as have decided to cool down and settle down, rather than run with your word, Lord, by reason of the declaration this morning, make them uncomfortable. Make them unsettled. Begin to overturn things in their lives until that prophetic word gains fruition, until that prophetic word comes into manifestation. Do not let them sleep. Do not let them relax. Overturn. Move things around. Move them around until that word comes to life and comes to light upon our lives. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Be magnified. Be magnified. Be magnified. Be magnified. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said, abide in me and my words in you. So that's how you become fruitful. That's how you become successful. Let the prophetic word of God be the instrument of your warfare. Let that sword of the Spirit be put to use. Let that sword of the Spirit, which is the prophetic word of God, let it be put to use in your life. Bring it out from the sheath and begin to use it. Bring out the word of God that's hidden in your heart and begin to use it. Bring out the word that God has spoken to you and begin to use it so that you'd have victory, so that you'd have good success, so that you'll be fruitful and you bring forth much fruit to our God. We thank you and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we go, let the words you've spoken to us burn in our hearts. Ah, Lord, let the word burn. Let that word burn. Remind it to us while we're eating. Remind us the word when we try to settle down. Remind it to us when we are lying down. Remind your word to remind us of this divine destiny that we have in you and the necessity to fulfill it and not to fall short. Remind us, oh God. We thank you. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name.